Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Okay, let's talk about a different kind of fun. Last winter, Mayor Marty Walsh's staff brainstormed some fun new ideas to make Boston's public spaces more inviting. Well, this past Sunday, one of those ideas came to fruition, closing down Newbury Street to cars. From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., traffic was replaced by pop-up tents, food vendors, and games of Foursquare in the streets. And many businesses reported an uptick in customers. People were out on a beautiful day having fun. Pretty rousing success, I'd say. So that made us wonder, what if Newbury Street were closed more often? What if the city made it pedestrian-friendly permanently? I mean, after all, other cities have done something similar.
One of the big surprises with Times Square was how quickly people flocked to the space. People just materialized immediately into the street. It was like a Star Trek episode.
Well, that's Jeanette Sadiq Khan, New York City's former commissioner of the Department of Transportation, talking about what happened when New York closed Times Square to cars. So am I suggesting that we follow New York City's lead? Well, yeah. But OK, before I go any further, let me just say, Boston, you do take any talk of traffic changes very, very seriously. We've already been getting calls about this. So to be clear, there is no official talk about permanently closing Newbury Street to cars. Mayor Marty Walsh's office even called us and said no one at City Hall is considering anything permanent and that the open Newbury Street idea was just a pilot. But please permit us this thought experiment, because at Radio Boston, this is what we do. We like to brainstorm. So if Newbury Street were to be changed somehow, I'm asking you, what would it look like? What should it look like? No cars, no sidewalks, no traffic signs, some kind of mix. What is an exciting new way to mix up how people move down one of the city's best known streets? So call us with your ideas at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send me a tweet at Radio Boston. So with us to discuss and kick around some of these new ideas is Sam Goda. He's Senior Associate of Transportation at the Project for Public Spaces in New York, and he joins us from the Radio Foundation in New York City. Sam, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Magna. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Also with us is Elizabeth Cristoforetti. She's an urban and architectural designer at the firm Supernormal. Elizabeth, welcome to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so first of all, Elizabeth, let me just ask, Sam and Elizabeth, I'll ask you both, but Elizabeth, let me start with you. Do you think that my dream of a pedestrian-only Shangri-La on Newbury Street is the best way to change that very famous street in Boston?
Well, pedestrian priority is definitely a great idea. And the question is always, should it be pedestrian priority or pedestrian-only? So I think it's a beautiful vision, but probably needs a little more study.
Okay, more study. I'm hearing my dream starting to crash away here. Sam, pedestrian only or some other kind of mix?
Well, I mean, it really depends on what the community feels is best. It's hard to come in and say, you know, this is the right thing for you guys. I think what happened at the weekend was amazing. These kind of experiments are really important to help people visualize what the street could be and what they're missing, and so they're really great to help form a consensus that has a lot of buy-in, and really the community is the expert. So it's kind of hard to say as an outsider.
Okay, so we'll be hearing from members of the community as we have this discussion. but Elizabeth, let me ask you. I mean, let's just look at Newbury Street a little more closely in terms of where it's located in Boston, the mix of things it already has there, its design. I mean, the way the space feels on a daily basis. I mean, what do you think would be a way to make the mix of people and cars and businesses more friendly for all who want to visit there?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, the rule of thumb is always to make the streets as dynamic as possible and to make them as useful for as many users as possible. And so, you know, what that means in terms of exactly how many cars and how often are on the street or exactly how it's used by pedestrians and over how much time, I think, you know, as Sam says, is, you know, it's really a stakeholder question to some extent. But from a sort of physical planning perspective, we often look at things like how connected is a place to the area around it and how much critical mass already exists. So, you know, Newbury Street's in a pretty busy area. You know, the Back Bay's got a lot going for it. It's got great businesses, it's got universities, a fair amount of residents. And so there's a lot of population there. You know, the risks, on the other hand, are that when you shut down connectivity in any way, there's always a potential for increased vacancy. But, yeah, I mean, it's a little hard to say, but, you know, physically it's got a lot of promise for sure.
Right.
If there's a place in Boston where this could work, Newbury Street's kind of got it going.
Okay, so Sam, let's then step away from Newbury Street for a second and just talk about some examples of what other cities around the country and around the world have done. I mean, if you were to pick... just sticking with pedestrian only for a moment, I know that we'll talk about other examples, but you know, what's one of your favorite places where a street has been closed to cars and the difference that it's made?
Well, there's some really great examples in Aspen and Charlottesville of where they've been very successful in restricting access to cars, and the place has thrived. Where you run into difficulty is if you don't have those strong anchor destinations. I feel that Newbury Street really does have a lot of great anchor destinations. It's got a lot of pedestrian traffic. It's busy all the time. The land use is very dense. It's mixed use. There's restaurants. There's places to sit. There's shade. It's got all the ingredients needed to be a successful pedestrian zone.
But, well, sorry, I'm just going to jump in here and remind folks that we are talking about alternative ways to mix people and traffic on Newbury Street. This is following the Sunday experiment of what would happen on Newbury Street when they shut it down entirely to traffic and it was pedestrian only. And we're wondering, you know, what are your ideas for how you might make changes to big streets like Newbury Street in Boston? How would you make the mix of people and cars work? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And if you were on Newbury Street on Sunday, what was it like? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you miss having the cars? I mean, some people might have actually done so. So call us at 1-800-423-8255. I'm joined by Sam Goder and Elizabeth Cristoforetti. And let's take a call here. Juliet is calling from Westford. You're on the air, Juliet.
Hi. I've had some great experiences in Europe, Belgium, cities like Hasselt and Leuven and Brussels, and in Germany and in Gothenburg, Sweden, where they shut down the streets and allow only pedestrian traffic, and the cities thrive in those areas. It's a wonderful open experience. People can dine outside and really enjoy that open space, so it's just a fabulous experience. And the key thing is mass transportation nearby to allow people to have access, and clearly that's the perfect opportunity there on Newbury Street.
Juliet, thank you so much for your call. Elizabeth Cristoforetti, let me ask you, I feel like we have examples very close to home that have worked and haven't worked so well when traffic patterns have been changed. I mean, you've talked about previously, for example, Essex Street in Salem, right?
Yeah, that's right. I had done some work with Tim Love of UTL on Essex Street in Salem a few years ago, and it's a pedestrian street that, you know, and it's worth saying, too, that a lot of streets in America, there was a trend in America as retail shifted from downtown main streets towards malls to open up pedestrian streets in downtown areas, and this is a similar condition in Essex Street, and in the sort of 60s, they shut down Essex Street to pedestrians only, and you know, Essex Street had a couple of things going for it and a couple of things that were pretty problematic. I mean, I think your last caller is correct about public transportation being a big deal, and Essex Street had that for it somewhat. It's got a trolley going down it, and that's really great, and it worked really well during events and festival times. But that only was a couple days a year, and for the rest of the year, it suffered from vacancy. You know, it's not Times Square. It doesn't have the critical mass around it. It doesn't have the universities that we often cite, as in Charlottesville, that really make it work. And so, you know, the street management became a real challenge. How retail gets loaded, the levels of retail diversity were pretty low. As I said, levels of vacancy were pretty low as well. And there, you know, the street links without clear connectivity or clear three-block connections was like almost 1,000 feet. And Newbury Street, in comparison, I think is between 450 and 600 feet.
Oh, so you're saying it was too long. It was too long?
That's right. Too long and maybe not connected enough to the area around it, as well as the fact that the area around it probably didn't have enough people moving into it during all seasons and all hours of the day.
Right. Well, so, you know, you mentioned the importance of having, Sam talked about the importance of having anchor businesses and anchor attractions, and then Elizabeth mentioned the importance of, you know, having an anchor access to public transport if you're going to make traffic changes on a street. And to that point, let's go to Jared, who's calling from the Seaport. You're on the air, Jared.
Hello. So I recently went to the University of Madison at Wisconsin. And their main road is closed to all private vehicles, so it's only open to buses and taxis. And that limited the amount of cars on the road significantly, and even around the town in general. They said most people would take public transportation instead of driving there and looking for a spot for 20 or 30 minutes in the area. So that really worked for them.
Okay. Well, Jared, thank you so much for your call. I mean, I can only imagine what Newbury Street would be like if it was just MBTA buses barreling up and down the street. I mean, Sam Goder, how does that sort of hybrid arrangement sound to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Church Street in Madison that Jared's talking about. That works really well. You know, they've got great transit links. It's only a short block. It's a very bike-friendly, walk-friendly city. It's very dense. So the surrounding land use really allows it to thrive. I think the trend of building these pedestrian-only plazas in the U.S. in the 50s and 60s, a lot of them were really unsuccessful because they didn't have the right land use and any transportation options really, so people couldn't get there. And I think only 15% of the pedestrian malls that were built in this country remain pedestrian malls today.
Well, I'm starting to hear that our brainstorming session is bleeding into some hybrid models and away from my pedestrian only paradise. So let's bring in another voice here. Maybe she'll back me up. It's Wendy Landman. She's executive director of Walk Boston. Wendy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Meghna. Great to be here.
Are you going to help me out and vote for an all-pedestrian Newbury Street?
Well, I guess what I'm going to vote for, in a way, is an all-pedestrian Newbury Street, but only sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Not all the time. I think it's wonderful to do it sometimes, and maybe even the sometimes is regularly, like Sunday summers. But we'd love to see the idea spread to other parts of the city, but move around the city, and that's what a lot of cities are doing around the country. They're doing what's called summer streets sometimes, but it doesn't have to be summer. It could be, I was thinking, Newbury Street the day after Thanksgiving, pedestrians only. But really thinking about it as changing temporally so that sometimes it's pedestrian only and sometimes not.
Yeah, I'm hearing voices from Cambridge saying, "Yeah, we've been doing that for a long time."
Right.
But why do you think occasionally or regularly or on even special occasions may work better than having a permanent change in access to the street or pedestrian access, I should say?
So I think it comes from the need for a high density of people being there regularly. What you don't want to do is have a street that's shut to vehicles and doesn't have a whole lot of people walking around, because then it feels pretty empty and unexciting a lot of the time. And I think that Elizabeth and Sam are both talking about that, as are the callers. You need a lot of people walking around to make it feel like it should be only people walking around and no vehicles. And I think making it special, that's what brings people out, and it also lets it feel like this is how it should be today, sort of like Memorial Drive in Cambridge, which turns into a park. It doesn't turn into a hubbub, bustling retail activity. It turns into a park on summer Sundays, and every kid in Cambridge learns how to ride their bike there.
Right. It's a completely different use for the road. Wendy, hang in here for just a second, because I want to turn back to Sam and Elizabeth Cristoforetti. So, Elizabeth, what about this idea of, as Wendy mentioned, is being done in Cambridge, or maybe she'd like to see happen on Newbury Street, of occasionally really changing the mood, like we saw on Sunday on Newbury Street. Is that more doable, and could it potentially be more successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got great viability. I happen to live in Cambridge, and my kids love going there on Sundays. You know, the reality is that's a really different type of street. It's more of a sort of recreational zone. But the idea that you're changing the use in a predictable way, so that you're not just getting an event, as in it's a street festival, but something that's used by locals in a very predictable and regular way, feels like a really great way to build local identity, a really great way to kind of strike a compromise between pedestrian only and you know, the inverse. You know, I think we should always make these things pedestrian priority, period. And then I love the idea of predictability. I think it's great.
Wendy Landman, before I let you go, I mean, what about if we, you could do sort of the temporary or regular change, but what if we were to make any kind of physical change to Newbury Street itself? Is there anything that you think could be done that would make it more pedestrian friendly, or as Elizabeth has pointed out, potentially pedestrian priority?
Yes, absolutely. I think it would be wonderful to really slow the traffic down on Newbury Street. So make sure that nobody is speeding up to try and make a green light. Make sure that vehicles that are making turns are doing it very, very slowly so that pedestrians feel like they really have priority there. But that doesn't mean that all the vehicles have to go away. And there are lots of techniques to do that, to tame the traffic, if you will, and think about changing the number of lanes in different blocks of the street. So it could be, you know, right now it's two parking lanes and two travel lanes pretty much the length of the street.
Yeah.
And maybe it could be one travel lane on some of the blocks. So you're really telling drivers you're in a zone that's full of pedestrians, you need to move really slowly, but it's not that you're not allowed here at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wendy Landman is Executive Director of Walk Boston. It was great to have you, Wendy. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks so much.
Let's turn to our callers now. Once again, we're talking about making pedestrian priority a priority in places like Newbury Street. This is following Sunday's temporary experimental closure of Newbury Street to traffic and the good feeling that came around after that happened. And maybe we should see something more often like that in Boston. Call us with your ideas at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's turn to Robin, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Robin.
Hi, it's great talking with you and a very interesting conversation. What I wanted to add is something simple about logistics. I've had a business on Newbury Street, and if you look at the traffic and you count cars versus UPS trucks, delivery trucks, you know, FedEx, et cetera, anytime you're thinking about making a street, you know, work for pedestrians only, you have to think about how to service the businesses.
Right.
And Boston's rather fortunate in that we have back streets, you know, the back alleys. Those would have to really be considered so that there would be the ability for deliveries to the businesses.
Robin, really interesting point. Great point, actually, because you're talking about servicing businesses, and then that got me thinking of if you're going to make any changes to traffic patterns on one street, especially in places like Back Bay, there is the knock-on effect to the neighboring streets as well. So thank you so much for your call, Robin. Sam Goder, let me turn back to you. What about this very important issue of being able to continue to service businesses and their needs, even as you may change traffic patterns?
Well, sure, that is very important, and Robin brings up a great point. The back alleys work very well, but there's opportunities to maybe have deliveries early in the morning. You don't have to have the big delivery trucks at peak pedestrian times. So there's ways around it, for sure.
Mm. Now, I wonder, Sam and Elizabeth, I want to ask you both about an example that I recently experienced firsthand, and it was in London. Now, London made a major change to Exhibition Road, which is where some of its biggest museums are, the Science Museum, Victoria and Albert Museum, the Natural History Museum. They spent £30 million to repave the entire thing. There was one giant design on the street, and it was much more difficult to tell where the sidewalk ended and the road began. There was very little separation between the sidewalk and the street. They took out all the traffic signals, all the traffic signs, and instead put in park benches and bike racks and things like that, essentially to make it less sort of, they called it sort of less nanny state in terms of controlling traffic, and let people and drivers work it out for themselves. And it turns out to have had a very profound change, a positive change, on a street that attracts millions of people a year. This is based on a model that I think came out of the Netherlands originally.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth, what's your reaction to some really truly radical change like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's this really smart designer named Jan Gehl who tested this out in Copenhagen. He has another really great example. I think it was him, Brighton Road, down in, also in the UK. And, you know, these both employ the sort of, I don't know,
shared space, I think, is the word you're looking for, Elizabeth.
Sure, shared spaces. Yeah, much more dynamic ways of using the road. And, you know, they've been really successful in a lot of areas. But again, I think coming back to those original questions of critical mass is, you know, the That's really critical.
Right, Sam. So you know about these shared spaces, and Elizabeth, I heard you say it was from Denmark, maybe not the Netherlands, as I had originally said. I mean, tell us more about them. Elizabeth keeps pointing to this important issue. Like, do we need a critical mass for any of these kinds of changes to work? Really?
It helps for sure. I mean, Exhibition Road is a great example of a shared space. The level of the road came up to meet the sidewalk. And if you drive through it, you really feel like you're a guest in a pedestrian realm. And so you drive accordingly, whereas conventional traffic engineering, especially in America, makes roads feel like racetracks and makes driving fast feel very safe. As soon as you don't know when a pedestrian is going to be walking in front or of you or if there's a bike, then you're much more aware as a driver. And it's obvious that you have more responsibility. There's no green light telling you can go fast. And so when you give people that responsibility, the spaces tend to work really well, and the high end of the vehicle speeds goes down. It doesn't necessarily make driving any slower. You can still have a pretty high average speed, but you're not stopped and then going really fast and then stopped again. It's more
right.
of a continuous movement where it's easy for people to interact with each other and kind of filter through the space. And it has other advantages. The air quality is way better because there isn't the accelerating and braking. It's less noisy. It's a much calmer environment.
I have to say, it did really change the psychology of the space, because it felt, like you said, it felt more like a pedestrian space where the cars were still allowed rather than the other way around, which is what we usually get here in the United States. I'm running out of time here, but I want to sneak in one, maybe two more calls here. Miles is calling from Norton. You're on the air, Miles.
Hi. I was just in New York City this past weekend, and they do a summer program where they close Park Avenue on Saturday mornings. And to see the number of people out and about, everyone from serious cyclists to little guys riding bikes and people out jogging and families, was just a really super thing. And I figure if New York can do it on a street like Park Avenue, why can't we do it on Newbury Street, I guess?
I love that thinking. Yeah, exactly. If New York can do it, why can't we? Miles, thank you so much for your call. Let's get one more in here. Natalie is calling from Braintree. You're on the air, Natalie.
Yes, I agree. I love going out to Santa Monica 3rd Street Promenade. And what I was telling the producer was that I love the atmosphere of people watching and kids running around and magic shows going on and musicians and outdoor dining, and it's such an atmosphere that you want to be there.
You want to be there. Natalie, thank you so much for your call. Well, I have to say, I think we've heard no consensus around my dream of pedestrian only, but consensus at least that Newbury Street is ripe for some kind of experimentation in terms of changing the way a street in a major part of Boston feels. And we should say, by the way, that a spokesperson from Mayor Marty Walsh's office did tell us that the city is going to be talking to businesses on Newbury Street. They're going to be taking a survey of all the businesses between now and Labor Day to find out what worked for them, what didn't work for them, and how to improve on Sunday's experiment of closing down to traffic. So maybe we'll see something again, or an improved kind of experiment in round two of this, if there is ever a round two. And the city says they have plans for anything going forward, that those plans, when they have them, if they have them, would be announced after Labor Day. So with that thought, Sam Goder, Senior Associate of Transportation at the Project for Public Spaces in New York, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Elizabeth Cristoforetti, urban and architectural designer at the firm Supernormal. It was great to have you on, Elizabeth. Thank you for your perspective as well.
Thanks so much.
And listeners, keep sending me tweets at Radio Boston on what you'd like to see on Newbury Street regarding pedestrians and traffic, or any other street in Boston. Again, send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.